You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
Here are the nominees for Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical. Ralph Fiennes, The Grand Budapest Hotel. Michael Keaton, Birdman. Bill Murray, St. Vincent. Joaquin Phoenix, Inherent Vice. And Christoph Waltz, Big Eyes. And the Golden Globe goes to Michael Keaton, Birdman.
I'm the seventh child of George and Leona Douglas, and I don't ever remember a time when my father didn't work two jobs, when my mother wasn't saying the rosary or going to mass or trying to take care of seven kids in a rundown farmhouse. And she was volunteering at the Ohio Valley Hospital, where I was born, in the hallway.
A little sound from the Best Actor Award at the Golden Globe Awards on Sunday. Now, these awards are the typical kind of picture of all of Hollywood gathered together in one place. Here, television, movies, screenwriters, all of the people expecting their awards. There are the nominations that are highly touted. And then they gather together. They eat, they drink, they rib each other, they make jokes, and then they hand out the awards. Now, that speech that they heard from Michael Keaton for Birdman really made the rounds in the press afterwards, kind of talking about his, well, I don't want to be cliche and saying his humble roots, but kind of understanding his success, a career of success in his case, in a different perspective than we usually hear at award shows. We're going to talk about the Golden Globe Awards. Pastor Ted Giese joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I don't know if I have all of them, but we've got the Golden Globes, we've got People's Choice, we have the big ones, the Academy Awards, the Oscars. What makes Golden Globes a little different from the others?
Well, the thing with the Golden Globes is that it's the fancy word for it is that it's an oligarchy. It's a system in which all the power is vested in a few persons. It's just a small group of people. So there's about 90 voting members, and they're all members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So you're really getting a picture into what they think is important. They kind of kick off the whole season of award shows, and we're going to get to like the Oscars eventually. And the Oscars, they're the opposite of an oligarchy; they're a meritocracy. So that's one where the actual people in the business vote on each other, and it's not somebody from outside. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is kind of a little bit more at arm's length from everything, but they have their own agenda as well, and that really comes out while you're watching the award show, if you watched it.
So when we're watching this, I mean, it's pageantry. There's a lot of self-congratulations, and usually it's largely self-congratulations. It's a combination between roast and self-congratulations. What was different about this year's, in your opinion? What did you see or note?
Well, I mean, there's stuff that's pretty much the same all the time, and some of that stuff you just hit on there. The interesting thing is there was a couple moments that were actually pretty good. One moment was with George Clooney. He received the Cecil B. DeMille Award for Lifetime Achievement. He's only like 57, so that's kind of crazy. But he's got a little more life in him, I believe. But he said that he kind of gave a little analogy about like being nominated for these awards and then losing, because he said he's lost way more times than he won. And how kind of it turns into this kind of crazy, shameful thing, and people come up and like it's like somebody died in the family or something like that. But really, he said, if you're in this room with all of these people, you have grasped onto the brass ring. You've succeeded. that everybody there is. There was kind of a layer of appreciation in what he said. And he's a pretty charming guy. The other one was from the clip that we heard at the top of the segment here, and that was with Michael Keaton. And this kind of really stood out to me, particularly listening to it. It was very relatable. He was kind of striking towards maybe an experience that more people in United States and Canada have had growing up. He also talked in that about, the value of working hard and not being a complainer and having a sense of humor in life and that kind of stuff. And that was very relatable. And it really stood out because so much of the rest of the show was not really relatable. And even like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who were the hosts, they know that, and they were kind of ribbing and joking on this. And they said at one point in the monologue at the beginning, they talked about, I guess, a duologue because there was both of them. But they were joking about eating cake, and they pretended that people there didn't know what cake was because people in Hollywood don't eat cake because it makes them fat. And then they said it's something that people do when they celebrate birthdays. And, of course, people in Hollywood don't like to acknowledge that they're getting older. So, like, there's even a self-referential understanding that they're kind of out of step with the majority of people in North America.
Two other general questions before we get into the particulars of the awards themselves. It obviously means something. A lot is invested in this. It means something to a person's career to receive an award like this. Obviously, the big one is the Oscar, but these other ones rival them also in some case. And it translates for the people who've made these films into box office, doesn't it?
It does, and it kind of will put a movie back on the radar. So one of the movies it puts back on the radar is this Grand Budapest Hotel, which came out quite a long time ago, and now it won an award. So that puts it back on the radar. And one of the things, actually, in George Clooney's acceptance speech for that Cecil B. DeMille Award was he said that the big movies do okay, but it's the little movies that need to find an audience. And he was acknowledging the Hollywood Foreign Press with working on doing that. Now, they do that, but what they're doing is they're presenting to you on a silver platter what small films they think that you should watch. And some of them are going to be good, and some of them are going to really be steeped in what they think is important in life. So, and again, this is an oligarchy. It's a small group of people who are making decisions about that, right? So, yeah, there is an element where taking some smaller budget film and kind of putting it back out in the public's attention does translate into box office for those smaller pictures.
Does the Golden Globes tend to focus on the lesser known films?
They can. Like you're not going to find in the list of all of the things, like Transformers 4, things like that. And the Oscars really don't focus on that either. Maybe the People's Choice Awards do more of that kind of thing. But they do focus on the smaller films. Another one that won big at this award show was the movie Boyhood, which we had an opportunity to look at earlier, last year. And then that's looking like it's a big contender for Oscar award season also.
So let's talk about the awards themselves, beginning with, I would call it Best Picture, although I think they call it Best Film. Which one was it again?
Yeah, Best Motion Picture Drama. That one is Boyhood. That's the one that won. And like we were just saying, that was the one that we had reviewed just last year.
Give our listeners a little kind of synopsis, because this was a remarkable film, not only in its subject matter, but in the way that it was actually produced.
Yeah, this one is one that people will perhaps remember hearing about. It took 12 years to make, and it starts with a young actor who's like grade one age and ends up with him going into college. So basically every year they stopped and they shot, a little bit more of the movie, and you actually physically saw the actor's age through the whole process. And they had an idea of how they wanted the story to unfold, but they also kind of took the lead of where the boy was in his life at different times as they went through that period. And what comes across is this movie that really celebrates, again, this was a more relatable movie because it dealt with stuff that quite a few people in North America are dealing with. There's a broken home situation. There's a single mom trying to struggle through raising her kids. There's all of the ups and downs of just growing up, all kind of happening in a way that has a real feeling of reality to it because just literally you see people aging the way they naturally age over a 12-year period. And the movie garnered a lot of attention, and at this award ceremony also, it won for Best Director. And then it also won, that's Richard Linklater, who was the director of that, and also for Best Supporting Actress, and that was Patricia Arquette. And it was quite an interesting movie, and it kind of really would have an opportunity to get you thinking about things.
So it would be safe to say it wasn't a sweep, obviously, but that's as close as you're going to get to a sweep with one movie.
Yeah, I mean, it did very well. And the whole idea of that movie was that it was a big gamble, and Richard Linklater knew that, you know, if you're going to bank on working on something for 12 years, it breaks a lot of rules. And the investors behind that are going to have a long wait to get the returns back, right? But and who knows? You could do that for 12 years, and then it turns out nobody wants to see it. But somehow it kind of hit just at the right time. And it kind of spans that period of time of the, like, you know, a millennial, young millennial person's growing up. So there's a lot of people in that kind of category right now who are thinking about their childhood and their own upbringing, and I think it could resonate with them as well.
So what was the general appeal beyond, as you just mentioned, kind of that millennial generation says, this is us. What was the general appeal of that winner for Best Motion Picture Drama?
I think that, like, it, on one level, it's just the dedication to the craft, right? That you're going to take 12 years to do this story. And then the dedication of all of the actors involved that they're going to put in for that 12-year period. And also, you know, in the end, it's just a very unique film. Like, it's unlike any other film that I've seen, you know, particularly last year, or really it's a bit of a gem all by itself. It sparkles in that way, and you get a sense that you're watching something kind of special.
I hesitate to call that a gimmick because you don't spend 12 years on a gimmick. I mean, a gimmick is a quick thing, but do you forget, in essence, in watching that movie, Boyhood, the winner of Best Motion Picture, do you forget in the course of watching it that's how it was done, and is the story that good? Is the storytelling that good?
It's kind of one of those Seinfeld things where on a certain level it has on the surface at various points a feeling like it's a story about nothing, but when you finally get where you're going with it, you get the sense that, you know, no, there was a big story being told here, and they managed to edit it in such a way that they told a story. And in the review that we had last year, at the very end of the movie, it talks about, you know, sometimes in life, the moment is, you're not seizing the moment. This is the opposite of carpe diem. You're not seizing the moment. The moment is seizing you. And for a Christian watching that, particularly of a Lutheran background, you know, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. There is a sense that, you know, like, there are things at work in our life that are bigger than us, and that's part of the story that gets told in that movie.
The other motion picture, this in the category of musical or comedy, was a comedy, The Grand Budapest Hotel, which was also critically acclaimed. How would you summarize that film?
Oh, this is a Wes Anderson movie, and I don't know if you've seen any Wes Anderson movies, but they are very quirky films. He's got a strange sensibility to him, but they're so kind of oddly charming in a lot of ways. So he also was the director who did the movies Moonrise Kingdom, The Royal Tenenbaums, Fantastic Mr. Fox, just really kind of interesting. Rushmore, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. This is this guy, right? And he tends to have ensemble casts, and he'll use the same actors from movie to movie to movie. So you kind of, he's built a kind of a language of telling a story. So if you're a fan of Wes Anderson and you go see this movie, this is one where it seems like he's firing on all pistons, like he's getting it all right in this. And it's all kind of a story about a very famous, fictional place, but in the fiction, it's a famous hotel in kind of Eastern Europe, and kind of like the passage of time and how that fits, and this concierge who works there, and there's a painting that gets stolen, a Renaissance painting, and it's a whole kind of caper kind of thing, but it has like little poignant moments. They were joking at the beginning of the award show that Wes Anderson arrived the way he normally does, riding on a bicycle made of antique tuba parts. So if it gets you kind of a picture of what that's like.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about the Golden Globe Awards on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 14th. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Best Animated Feature Film, Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture, and some of the other awards that were awarded on Sunday night at the Golden Globe Awards.
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
For the record, if you are in this room, you've caught the brass ring. You get to do what you've always dreamed to do and be celebrated for it, and that just, it ain't losing. I don't remember what awards Lauren Bacall won. I just remember her saying, "You know how to whistle, Steve, just put your lips together and blow."
George Clooney, in the course of his acceptance speech at the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globe Awards. We're talking about those awards. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Media, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is actually, we can't take credit for this being a book of any human origin. It's the Psalter. It's actually a Psalter called Concordia Psalter. It's a book of the Psalms, but But more than the Psalms, it's the Psalms that are there for devotional use, for individual study, even for corporate worship. They're designed for that, but it's also for private devotion because it has other devotional material in it related to each one of the Psalms. It's called the Concordia Psalter. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this great devotional worship resource, the Concordia Psalter, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Turning to the best animated feature, and this is now, you know, has been for years, a legitimate category. These are movies that tend to make, well, a lot more money. I imagine this one probably made the most money of all of the films that were awarded during the Golden Globes, How to Train Your Dragon 2. We reviewed this one as well. It had all those classic themes of these animated fantasy features.
Yeah, this is, you know, it was quite a movie. And one of the things that in watching that one and watching the first one, How to Train Your Dragon, the original, the first one in the series, that I was really struck at, and maybe this is part of why it won, it was just a very engaging film, is How to Train Your Dragon 2. But the relationship between the central character, the young boy in it that's growing up, and his father, tragically in the second one, his father dies, and it was kind of odd that it came out on the weekend of the Father's Day, so it's a little odd that that was the case. But in retrospect, what you had was you had a character, this father character, that really cared and loved his son. And their relationship with each other, while strained at points, was actually a very loving and good one in the end. And that's kind of a, you know, not something you find all the time in Hollywood, except I've kind of been noticing that there have been these better father-child relationships coming up. So if you think back to, like, World War Z, that was another one. Brad Pitt played the dad in that, and he was a very good dad. And then also Transformers 4 was another one with Donnie Wahlberg in there. And he, you know, Marky Mark, actually Mark Wahlberg, and he played a really good dad. So I don't know if this is turning into a trend, but, you know, the good father character is something I've been noticing and in the last couple of years, and it's something that I'm kind of keeping my eye out for in the year to come.
Now, we mentioned before that Best Director went to Richard Linklater for Boyhood, that film that took 12 years to do. And I just got to get your thoughts on this. I mean, directing a film is probably difficult enough as opposed to directing it over the course of 12 years, keeping the continuity, the story, the focus in mind. Most movies are produced in a matter of months, not years. And what kind of, are we awarding more here than simply making a good film, but kind of staying on task as one has to do directing a major motion picture for more than a decade?
Yeah, I heard an interview with him, and he was talking kind of about that whole process. And he said that when they were working on the script originally, his daughter was like 12 years old, and she was looking for a part for herself in this movie, and she ends up being the older sister to the central character in the movie. So maybe helping to keep himself on point is that his very own daughter is in the movie as an actress, and so it became kind of a family thing between the two of them, too, in the course of it. And actually, Jack Black, in the course of the Golden Globes, kind of introduced the movie, and he talked about, he kind of was ribbing him a little bit and said, you know, like, hey guys, this didn't take 12 years. This took like a couple weeks, 12 times over a 12-year period. So it actually probably took as long as it normally takes to make a movie in some regards, maybe a little longer than usual. But, you know, it is just a really fascinating thing that he was kind of working on this behind the scenes, and he's got another movie coming out in the fall, and it's apparently, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it's set like in a college setting, and it kind of is kind of picks up right where this movie leaves off. It's not a sequel, it's kind of a spiritual sequel or something, I don't know, but it's not going to have the same actors in it.
The Golden Globes also awards not just motion pictures, but also television as well, usually kind of the more serial kind of television that although it's not exclusively that. Who won in the television category?
There's this show, the one that stood out to me that was interesting to me was that the best supporting actress in a series, miniseries, or TV show was this Joanne Froggatt, who's from the TV show Downton Abbey. And as you might imagine, I really watch movies. I keep a little bit of a running list of what movies I'm watching. I write them down. And last year, the calendar year, it was 117, either in theater or at home or whatever. So movies kind of take the front seat. Television's kind of in the back seat. But we do watch Downton Abbey, and her character in that particular season of Downton Abbey, she's one of the she's a lady's maid who works downstairs, but with the one of the ladies in the house. It's set in a kind of a rural country estate in England in the early part of the 20th century. And this actress, her character arc, her story that year involved her being raped. And it's a very dramatic and emotional storyline. And she's just a real gem of an actress, and it's really nice to see her being acknowledged.
I want your thoughts on that real quickly. I've watched a lot of these miniseries. They're called miniseries, but they're really series that run a course that have been produced for television, but they rival in their character development and their storylines, everything. And we're talking about things like Breaking Bad or House of Cards or Downton Abbey. Anything made on film, is this kind of a new form of visual entertainment that's emerging from the old form of television? About a minute here, if you would, Ted.
Yeah, you know what? The television actually is kind of going through a bit of a renaissance, and part of that is just upping the ante in terms of the quality of production. So, you know, there's a whole raft of these shows. And they really, you know, in past years, you even had things like the Battlestar Galactica ones and things like that, like where it really captures people's imagination. Walking Dead is another one of them. In a way, it provides an opportunity to tell a longer story. So sometimes things actually probably would suit better a television series like this kind of way of showing it than a movie would. So, for instance, you know, when I think about, you know, the story of Martin Luther's life, you know, and I think, you know, early, middle, and late Luther, when I think about that, I'm like, how do you get that into a movie? And I know that there's been some varied success in doing that at different times. And it'd be fun maybe to talk about some of those movies sometime. But really, like, when I think about it, I think, you know what would be best is like a TV series, where you could actually spend an hour at a time and like really focus in on different things. And that's what it provides you the opportunity for. Some people complained about the length of these Hobbit movies that just came out. Like, why did they use three of them? And like, they could have just done in one or two movies. And why are they so long and all that kind of stuff? It's like, well, if you have a real passion to tell a particular story and you want to stretch that out, you know, sometimes movies don't work as well as television can, and these miniseries and TV series really provide that. And I think people who want to tell stories often get attracted to that.
And next week we'll be reviewing Into the Woods with you. It was also acclaimed at the Golden Globes. With about 30 seconds here, give us a little preview of what we might be hearing from you.
Yeah, Into the Woods, this is a kind of a mashup of a bunch of different fairy tales. It's based on a Broadway play, Broadway musical from 1987, and so it's kind of been kicking around for a little while. There's been a couple different revivals of it, but this is the Disney presentation of it for the big screen live-action extravaganza. And in it, you know, it was up for Best Motion Picture for this, the Golden Globe Awards, and Meryl Streep is one of the actresses in it. She was up for Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture for her role in that movie. So we'll kind of be talking about that, and also fairy tales a little bit, but how fairy tales kind of connect with maybe teaching children things and the responsibilities for teaching children.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
One of the most frequent compliments we get about issues, et cetera, is the breadth of topics that we cover today. Look at this. We were talking about the theory of extraterrestrial origin of human life. We talked about bad pro-life arguments. We did about an hour of open lines on breastfeeding in church. And then we rounded it off with the Golden Globe Awards. Now, if you appreciate the expansive topics we discuss here on Issues Etc., please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this year. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Membership benefits include t-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. If you join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, we will send you the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the Concordia Psalter, in addition to all your regular premiums. You can find out more about by looking for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Remember, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in 2015. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss media coverage of religion. Richard Ostling will be our guest. That'll be great. And we'll talk about Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. What we would hope to see is that the kind of quality that we have observed in those films that tell true human stories, the true human condition, would continue, even if it's still just part of pop culture. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.